We that are in this tabernacle do groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Sometimes we just get that yearning. I want to ask for your prayers today. I want to try to share with you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I want to ask the church today, as I try to say the things that will be said in this message, I want to ask you to continue to pray for those here who are lost and without the Lord. I want to call your attention to some scripture to begin with, found in the 16th Proverb. If you would like to turn and read along with me, I'll ask you to turn to Proverbs 16. And I want to begin reading with the first verse. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1 says, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." And I want to conclude my reading there, having read the first 9 verses of the 16th Proverb for a scripture reading here this morning. And I'm going to borrow the words of a song today and use them as the title of this message, and that being, "Take This Whole World, Just Give Me Jesus." I want you to think about, as I begin this, I want you to think about what we read here, what Solomon said in this proverb in the 8th verse. And he was a man in his lifetime, and you can read about Solomon's days as a king. You can read about the things that he spoke of throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, and it doesn't take, when you begin to study the life of Solomon, it doesn't take very long to know that he certainly was a man that understood what it meant to have worldly wealth, to have many worldly possessions. But in this proverb, he makes the statement, he says, "Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without it." And I want you to think with me also about a statement that we find in the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, and it really is something that most people that have been that have sat under the sound of the gospel at all have heard preachers use this statement that Jesus made, or these questions that Jesus asked. And I think sometimes we may use them in the course of a sermon and perhaps quote these verses and use them perhaps to make a point. But I'd like for us today to really stop for a moment and think about what Jesus really said in asking these questions. In Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul. Now, Jesus is speaking about something here that nobody that ever descended from Adam has ever accomplished, and that is owning the world, gaining the whole world. There was a man, there has been a man that walked here in this world that did own the world, and that was Jesus. The 24th Psalm says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." And Jesus, if you think about it, when Jesus was here on earth, and after he was baptized and the devil took him away, the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and the devil began to tempt him, the last thing that he tempted Jesus with was the kingdoms of the world. He said, "If you will just worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world." And when you really think about that, the devil was actually trying to offer something to Jesus that he already owned in the first place. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And you know, when that there in the 24th Psalm in verse 1, when that statement is made, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof," that's in reference to not only the earth, but everything that's on the earth is the Lord's. He owns, as we find in the 50th Psalm, he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. And so God is the owner. And when the Lord Jesus Christ walked here in this world, being God in the flesh, he owned the world. And, you know, if we, I believe if we really think about it, that he gave us a great example. Jesus taught us by example how little that our temporal belongings, how little that material wealth and material possessions really mean. Because Jesus, while he was here on earth, he could have done whatever that he wanted to with the things that were around him. But he came into the world and he chose to live a life apart and separate from the wealth of this world. And we find that when he was born into the world, he didn't come into the world and live among a great royal family. He was born and lived among very common people. And we even find the statement that Jesus made during his personal ministry when the man came to him and wanted to follow after him. And Jesus essentially told him, "Well, I don't have anything. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." And so he did not use, and certainly he was not, when the devil tempted him with all of those temporal possessions, Jesus wasn't interested in that. He was here to do the will of his Father, and he was here to worship him in that way. And so he just told the devil, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And that's certainly the way that we need to be as God's people today. We don't need to be worshiping these material things, do we? We need to be worshiping the Lord, the one that made us. But think about that question. And I know that this is something that really escapes even our greatest imaginations, because none of us have ever come anywhere close, no matter what that a person has had. And even among those that, according to the standards of this life, even those that have come, that have become what we know in this world as the richest of the rich, that could buy, you know, perhaps just about anything they wanted. They would have the buying power to purchase that, yet none of them have ever done what Jesus was talking about here. There has not been any of them that have ever possessed all of the world. They've had a portion of the wealth of this world, but even among them, there are plenty other people that share in that, the temporal wealth of this world. And so Jesus asked the question, what if? What if a person were to possess or were to gain the whole world and lose his own eternal, immortal soul? What profit would it be to that person? Answer? None. It would not be any profit to anybody to do that, but yet there are many people, and we know if we just listen to the things that people speak about, if we listen to the attitude of people concerning the temporal wealth of this world, we know that there are certainly many people in the world that are chasing after that, and they're interested in that more than in anything else. They're more interested in what they can have here. They're more interested in that that satisfies the flesh. They're more interested in that which will help them fulfill their lust and their covetousness rather than spiritual things that can benefit them for eternity. And, you know, folks, listen, one of the great answers to this question and one of the great reasons why that if a person had the whole world and lost his own soul, that it would not be of profit to him, is because that even if a person did have all of this, even if a person was able to gain the whole world, when it came time to lay this life down, that person will not be able to take any of those possessions with them beyond the grave. Whatever we have here, whatever we can gain here, will only benefit us for a very short time. So better is a little bit, just a little bit. And we certainly have a great example or great examples of this in the Scriptures, and I want to use some of them. But better is a little bit with a person that has righteousness. And we know where righteousness comes from. It comes from Jesus. He's the only one that can impute righteousness to us. He is the only one that can justify us, which means declare us righteous, therefore being justified by faith, therefore being declared righteous by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we could say, you know, in what Solomon said here, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. We could say it's better to be saved, even if you have just a little bit of this world's wealth, than to have many possessions and be without the Lord. Be without righteousness. If you possessed all of the world and you had enough power, you know, there's great worldly power in wealth, isn't there? If you had the power to just, you know, Solomon said when he was building up the kingdom, he makes the statement there in the book of Ecclesiastes that whatever his eyes looked at, whatever he wanted, he did not withhold that from himself. And so if a person could really gain the whole world and be able to just possess whatever that you looked at, whatever you looked at and said, I want that, and have the power of purchasing to buy that, if you had that much worldly power, there would still be something. There would be something that your wealth would not and could not buy for you. You cannot buy the gift of God. And so, whenever that you've been saved, then you have something that's priceless, don't you? You have something that's worth more than everything else in the world, and so certainly it's much better to have Jesus if you don't have anything of this world than to have it all and to be without him. I'll tell you what, in the summer of 1973, the Lord put something in my heart that's far greater than all the wealth of this world. And it has eternal value to it, and it has great eternal benefits to it. And one of these days, because of what the Lord did for me, he's going to take me home. He's going to take me from this world to the place that we sing about when we sung the song, when we all get to heaven. He's going to take us that have been saved to that place that he has prepared for his people. And let me tell you something, we're going to see greater riches and greater treasures in that land than anybody has ever known on the earth. It was likened to a place, it was spoken of as a place where the streets are gold, the walls are jasper, there's a river clear as crystal proceeding from the throne of God. The most beautiful things that I believe that could be used, you know, the most beautiful things that perhaps we could ever imagine being used to describe that place that God has prepared for his people. But let me tell you something. If we try to think of that place and compare it to the things that we have known here on the earth, if we try to think of that place that has streets of gold and think about that like we would the gold that we've seen here on the earth, we're going to miss it. I'll tell you what, it's going to be far beyond anything that we have ever seen on the earth. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has not entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. There was a man that we read about in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus spoke a parable concerning this. And he spoke a parable about those that put their trust in riches. And he said in this parable that there was a man that his ground had brought forth plentifully. He had been blessed with a great harvest, a harvest that was such that he was out of room in his barns to store his goods, to store his fruit. And so he decided that he would pull down the present barns that he had and build bigger barns. And isn't that just the way of earthly wealth? I mean, isn't that what we have seen that do to so many people? Haven't we seen in this lifetime so many people that they even get great wealth, they even come to the point where they possess more than they could ever possibly need to make it through their life, and yet they're not content even with that. They want more, and they want more of that all the time. But let me tell you something, lost friend today, God can put something in your heart that will satisfy you. I'm content today with what Jesus gave me, aren't you? I don't need anything else. I don't need anything else to get me to heaven. I don't need more. He gave me sufficient. He gave me all that I need to get me to heaven when this life has come to an end. And I'm satisfied with that, and I'm content with that. How content are you, preacher? Oh, I'm content to die with it. I'm content to leave this world with what the Lord placed in my heart. So I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater barns. And then I'll really have it made. I'll just say to my soul, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. You've got many goods laid up for many years. But God said to him, thou fool. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be? What are you going to do with the things that you have here in this life? What are you going to do with them? You're going to use them for a little while, and then you're going to hand them off to somebody else. And you know, Solomon even made the statement, again in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon even made the statement about the person that you would leave those things to. He said, you don't really know if that man will be a wise man or a fool. And do we really know? I mean, do we really know the things that we leave, or the one that we leave? Of course, Solomon was talking about that in the way of leaving that to another king. But do we really even know the things that we leave behind, what will be done with them? Of course not. We don't know how those things will even be handled after that we are gone. And so, the Lord said in that parable that for a person to think that way, for a person to think that their security is in the temporal possessions of this world, for a person to base their welfare upon that. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've laid in store. Look at the money that I have saved. Look at the account, the bank account that I have. Look at all that I have placed in my barns. Well, I've got it made from here on out. I'll just sit back now and I'll just, take all my blessings from that, from what I have laid up. Jesus said, you're a fool if you do that. I'm going to tell you something today. To place your trust in, to place your security in anything or anybody other than Jesus is foolish. It's foolish. What if the Lord, as Jesus said in that parable, come to you right now, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. To go to the second question that Jesus asked, would a person have anything to give in exchange for their soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, again, the answer is nothing. There's nothing that you can give. There's nothing that you can offer God. The sacrifices of God are a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and this is what He will accept from us and nothing else. There's nothing else that we can give to him. We can't purchase that. We cannot make a deal with God in that way. We can't say, well, Lord, I know that I didn't obey you. I didn't obey your command to repent. I didn't place my trust in you, but I've got something here that I'll give to you, and I'll purchase my salvation with that. It doesn't work that way. There's nothing that we can give in exchange for our soul. In the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and I want to speak about this for a moment before I close. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus told us there, and he used the extremes, and it was extreme, because the man that had that, the man Lazarus, that was the beggar, just had nothing. Nothing. He didn't have any possessions. He didn't have his health. He begged. The Bible says that he laid at the gate of the rich man there full of sores. Full of sores. Dogs coming around licking his sores. Hard to imagine, isn't it? Every day, laying there, dogs licking on your body, licking the sores on your body, hungry, begging, you know, not for a big piece of meat, begging for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. The rich man, on the other hand, fared sumptuously every day, wasn't in want of anything. The Bible says that the beggar died. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He went to heaven. The rich man died also and was buried, and in hell lift up his eyes, being in torment. He became the beggar then. He began to beg for just a little bit of mercy. Just let Lazarus dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am tormented in this flame. But his request was not granted. He could not take all of the money, all the wealth that he had, and give it in exchange for his soul. He had left all that behind in this world. Let me tell you something. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about, lost friend, anything that you allow to keep you from coming to God as the sinner that you are. Pride, possessions, fame, whatever that it is, anything that you allow to stand between you and finding God becomes your riches and becomes an idol god to you. And listen, when I remember this so well, before that the Lord saved my soul, I came to the point, I probably should say God brought me to that point, but I came to the point there where I was just willing to give everything away. There wasn't anything that meant any more to me than being saved. And from that day forward, I've been walking through this life with great treasures. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I've been walking through this life with great riches. And I'll tell you what, the world, they can think what they want. But I'll tell you what, today as I stand here and face this congregation, I'm looking at the truly rich. I'm looking at the richest people in the world, because Jesus said in that parable in Luke chapter 12, so is he that layeth up treasure to himself and is not rich toward God. All of the wealth, all the fame, all the prestige, all of the glitter and the glamour that this world has, you can take it. Just give me the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm content. How about you? Do you know him today as your Savior? I'll tell you what I believe. I believe if you have Jesus, you have it all. If you don't, you don't have anything. No matter how much wealth of the world that you may gain, you don't have anything if you don't have the Lord. I'd like for us to have a song. If you're here today and you're lost,